This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
D&M Leasing Studios, live from Radio Row in New Orleans. You're rolling with the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour one, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan, live Radio Row in New Orleans. Brought to you by our friends at Stella Artois and by the Low T Center. Welcome into the show. Another big sports day here for you. General at your service. At ease. Brian Broaddus, former Cowboy Scout and NFL executive, is in the house in his Stella Artois hat. Lucius Alexander back in the Pimp Cup at Master Control there, 75, and Fitzhugh fixing to go 5. Wolchuk and Schiafalo are here. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. You can watch us 105throughthefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. DJ the DJ is here. DJ Pridemore, remote engineering. Tim Collins, remote producing. And Ruben Portillo assisting. Okay, that's pretty much the whole crew. As we get into our, you know, third day of Radio Row coverage here on the Fan. Media Day party, guys. I think I might have set the record for shortest party in Super Bowl history. Okay. At worst, I'm upper one percentile. All right.
Did you even hit double digit in minutes?
Probably. Ooh. Probably.
You might have hit the 10-minute mark.
Yeah, I'm thinking somewhere in the 15-minute mark.
What said, turned you off?
Said hi to Joe Trahan, formerly of the Cowboys, now World Cup Joe Trahan.
Yeah, he's the man.
Okay, so I'm excited to see him again. We're going to rendezvous and get some soccer plants going here as we build up to the World Cup.
He said it's going to be huge. He said Dallas, it's going to be the biggest event Dallas has ever seen.
I'm glad you talked to him because he was painting the picture for us, and I'm like, look, one thing is our show's got Gavin Dawson, and Gavin Dawson's going to want to promote the hell out of soccer.
My guy.
So we need to you need to make sure that we're there, and he said, I've already talked to Gavin. We're going to get some stuff in the loop.
Holy cow.
He was excited, man. It was great catching up with Joe. And the party, the food, did you get any of the shrimps?
Yes. Yeah, no, I got some shrimp, some chicken and pasta.
Okay,
it was,
that was
shrimp
good.
Or chicken, right? So I went with the chicken. That was delicious. And then nothing really set me off. You know, I was just kind of like sitting there going like, this is really crowded. You know what did kind of set me off is everybody taking pictures in parties these days.
Mm-hmm.
So you're walking. It's like, you can't walk this way. Somebody's taking a selfie. Sorry, can't walk that way. And then I just felt like people on top of me. And I was like, you know what? I got to do this crap on Radio Row for 5 hours dealing with people constantly in my personal space. I'm not going to do this in here in my off time. I'm out of here.
I was walking trying to find Eric and Bobby because I somehow got misplaced from them. Next thing I know, somebody grabs my arm. It's Jane, and I have to do a full big brother moment because she's trying to get out of a conversation of a male who is flirting with her, right? Okay. And she is now spoken for. She has a relationship. Then after that, I find out Jane's got this device that it's like a mini light. I don't know how. She's got her phone to take the picture, and then there's also a light to help with the lighting. So I'm now her photographer with all of her friends taking these pictures, and I'm thinking, Bobby, what the hell? This is your job, and now I'm having to fulfill this role, and he's getting hammered out of his mind with Eric. Where did my friends go, and how did I get
Bobby
put in this position?
Bobby was worried about bumming money from everybody else to tip the bartenders.
Yeah, I've tipped all the bartenders. I know Sean cracked a joke, you know, oh, the Jewish guy borrowing money. Ha, 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 funny, funny. It was.
We got to cool up the pictures in public places, though. That would be my...
Whoa. Wow.
You okay? What just happened?
I don't know.
You choking yourself?
Yeah, I think I did.
There's a little Cajun spice that got caught up in the back there.
Honestly, I was feeling a little rough this morning, but the lunch spot that Brian took us to, gosh, it saved the day. I had the muff sandwich.
Yeah.
Probably the best muff sandwich I've ever had.
That thing, I mean, that was almost like a...
Impressive muff.
The girth and tonnage on that muff.
Yeah.
It was like a medium pizza.
It was an overload of olives, though. So for you that
lot
don't
of
like
olives.
The olives, I did end up kind of like pushing some off.
See, there
the
you go.
The chunky olives.
It's a little much. But, I mean, the thickness of these muffalettas,
yeah.
I mean, they are not
legendary.
Skimping on...
Yeah.
On the innards of the sandwich.
Well, if you like the cold cut varieties with the various cheeses and stuff, and the bread is a special bread, you know, it's you could do it mainly with this, like I say, it's more of a wheel shape, or you could do it with a French loaf and stuff, but the tapenade, the olive tapenade is what he's talking about, so it's a combination of olives, peppers, olive oil, all on top of a sandwich, so it makes it a little messy to deal with, but paired with the cold cuts, if you like that, it's kind of that charcuterie board vibe.
Yeah.
Bread, cheese, meat, and then, you know, your olives and stuff you get on the
side.
Did
you guys go to that Central Marketplace Corey was talking about?
No, we went to Paracels. That's
Paracels.
Where, yeah, it's
I got to tell RJ Ochoa.
It's like a dive bar.
It's okay. It's
incredible
way,
kitchen, though.
Way
thanks
away.
For the shrimp basket.
Yeah, no, I was kind of thinking, oh, Dawson, what's he going to get? And Chief goes, just get him a damn shrimp basket. I'm like, good call. So shrimp basket
away.
Yeah, you
know me. You know, I actually had a shrimp basket last night when I got back to the hotel.
Yeah.
And I ordered it with a sack of potatoes with Cajun, like,
the
butter
seasoning.
Sauce in
there.
Yeah, there
you go. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And I was dunking the shrimp in there.
Yeah.
So I had a bunch of that left over. I was dunking it like crazy.
Yeah.
You know, all morning long, basically. I've been in a shrimp paradise here in New Orleans. It's appropriate, I feel. You know, if you're not an oyster guy. You know, I think shrimp is definitely a good substitute.
That's one of the things I'm most looking forward to discovering about myself. If I am an oyster guy, like I got to get my hands on some legit ones out here and just see if that's my thing. They have like an oyster toast thing. It was like a spread last night.
Oyster lovers, they love it. You know, the way they talk about it, it's almost like
charbroiled.
They're talking about intimacy.
Yeah, there's different ways you can make them. It's like Rockefeller's the way with the spinach and the Parmesan. Bienville is another way with the spinach parmesan, put little bacon bits on it.
I like mine muy Bienville.
Bacon bits.
Some people just can eat a dozen raw. You know, just go with
that's crazy.
With the crackers and the hot sauce and all that.
I'm not totally against seafood. I don't eat a lot of it, but just seeing that thing, it looks like a giant booger. You know, I've never been able to get
it
past
is.
The visual.
You know, if you just have it raw, it's like a snot ball that you're eating.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the food overall last night, 10 out of 10. The jambalaya, the gumbo, the fried chicken sandwiches.
Did you get the boudin? We had boudin balls today.
Yeah, boudin balls. Which
you guys made the most of it.
I think we had boudin egg rolls last night.
Okay, that's, yes. On the way out, I found them.
Those,
I didn't know that they were there. They were delicious.
They
whatever
were,
sauce they smothered them in.
Was there like a lot of hovering over the food last night for you guys?
Early on.
Was it kind of like you guys were at a wedding?
Yeah,
you just kind of hovering and talking to people.
Yeah. The lines were long.
The finger foods.
Oh, really?
Well, and some people were standing and taking pictures, to Gavin's point, or standing and drinking, and so you kind of had to cut those people. It seemed like the lines were longer than they actually were. But it was great. I mean, I think last year might have been a little better in Vegas, but the food was delicious.
Sham Sharania reporting 35 seconds ago as Golden State pursues Kevin Durant, the two-time Warriors Finals MVP, has no desire in a reunion. Does not want to go back. We're cooking, boys.
Oh, wow.
We are cooking.
So
this is the first thing that fell in place. We needed Kevin Durant to not want to go back to Golden State. Is this Nico working? Is this Nico working with his Nike guy?
I think so, man. I really believe that there's legs to this KD thing.
I tell you what, though. I'm talking to some folks over there. They're not holding their breath right now. But we've seen Nico just be able to kind of get deals done
and
without
keep them in the dark.
And keep them in the dark. And my guys are just kind of like, listen, we're doing the best we can with what we got. But they didn't seem really optimistic on a certain side of the building over there when I was talking to them this morning.
Wow. Now, I do understand there's quite a few Mavs fans that will not be excited. So I'm sorry for your loss of Luka. You know, getting Kyrie, AD, and KD together. You know, depending on what you have to give up, might make your immediate ceiling higher. I know there's a long-term concern here with Luka, but I think for a lot of basketball fans, this would be, you know, still very exciting. Maybe not quite as fulfilling as watching Luka lead the team to a championship, but assembling that kind of talent, you know, that would be something. I don't know if it would forgive the trade because of, you know, how little that you got in return. But hot dang, that would be exciting. You know, Kevin Durant back to Golden State has been the top story for at least 48 hours. Last night, a lot of the insiders were saying, I thought there was a point at which this was going to go through, right? So as they're hearing that, you check with Kevin Durant. He's like, no, I don't want to go back there. You know, that was a great time, won two championships, but don't want to do that. So where else could he go? Are there other favorites?
I know there's multiple teams that are – I don't know exactly which teams they are, but I know the reports are that there's multiple teams that are expressing interest in calling Phoenix about Kevin Durant. So if he's ruling out the Warriors, I think that's the biggest hurdle there, because that seemed like the most likely thing.
Yeah.
But now that that's not happening, I don't know. Miami with Jimmy Butler, I don't think they can pull off with the apron stuff and just how weird everything is. I don't think Miami could end up bringing back a Kevin Durant. So I don't know how I'm not sure exactly which other teams are interested. I wonder if Houston is interested at all, because they certainly could use a guy to sort of put them over the top a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. I just think it's a really good sign that he does not want to join the Warriors.
That's crazy that popped up right when I searched it, but maybe it's not that crazy, because I've been putting Kevin Durant into the Twitter search box like every 10 minutes for the last 24 hours, really. You know, since the report broke, especially last night, that it's a dream of the Mavs to try to make this happen. The guy probably still a top 10 player. You know, obviously he's old, so he can't do it as consistently as he once did. But the guy's shooting 52% from the floor. He's playing 36 minutes a night. He's shooting 40% from three, six rebounds, still giving you over a block per game and nearly a steal per game. So, you know, I don't know where he falls right now in the MVP candidates. Obviously, you have your Giannis and your Luka and your Doncic Jokic and, you know, Edwards and Shea is probably the five biggest names in basketball right there. But Kevin Durant not too far behind. So, again, just to reset you on that, Sham saying Kevin Durant has no desire in a reunion to Golden State.
Okay. Windhorse just said that Kevin Durant will either stay in Phoenix or join Miami.
Really?
So they'll figure out another way to get it done?
Well,
I don't know how many teams you have to loop in. There's a lot of gymnastics involved, I think, especially on the side of the Phoenix Suns with it ultimately trying to get Jimmy. But I don't know. There's a lot that has to be done. There's probably multiple team trade, but that is apparently what Windhorse was just saying on the NBA ESPN show.
It's funny. I was talking to some folks last night around the league, and they said, and take it for what it's worth. They said, if you think Luka's a pain in the ass, KD's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So there's the first word everybody says is super talented, super player. But if you thought Luka was a pain in the ass,
Kevin Durant's a bigger pain in the ass than Luka?
It sounds that way.
What is it with these superstar players? I guess you got to figure out how to deal with them.
I just was like going, man, in football, I go, hey, we had to deal with a few of them. But, man, it sounds like in basketball, every time you turn around, you're having to deal with those kinds of guys.
Okay, Stars came up short in Anaheim 2-1, first of a six-game roadie. They are in L.A. on Friday, San Jose on Saturday. They'll fly east next week. Cowboys have a new assistant defensive line coach. We have a lot of stuff to cover. Stay tuned. We're here with you for the next 5 hours in New Orleans. We'll be all over the Kevin Durant sweepstakes or trade rumoruskies. Trade deadline, by the way, tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, right? So we have just under 24 hours to get this thing sorted. And, you know, if it's not KD, hopefully the Mavs have something else big in mind to kind of rebalance that perimeter scoring. Okay, it is the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 2:30. Paige Sporanek, pro golfer turned model and influencer, is next with you here live right on radio.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you
at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Row in the Nation. All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here, Radio Row in New Orleans. Our coverage brought to you by Stella Artois and the Low T Center. You can watch us on Twitch and YouTube. You might want to right now, former pro golfer turned model and influencer. You're looking at 11 million followers on social. She was named Sexiest Woman Alive at Maxim's 2022 Hot 100 list. First athlete to attain that number one spot.
Hell yeah, she was.
Paige Baranek here with you on The Fan. And a good afternoon. How the heck are you?
What an intro. Just goodness call me gracious, around everywhere and introduce me that way. I like that. Feeling good about myself right now.
As you should.
So Sports Grid brings you to Radio Row. What do we need to know about this?
Yeah, so we created Las Pages, which is a destination of fantasy, gambling, casino, lifestyle, and so much more. And we launched our first show on February 2nd. It's called Gimme Props, where people write in and give me prop bets, and I have to try to win. And first two episodes are pretty fun. The second episode, I have a double-stacked burger, which is the size of that football, and I have to try to finish it in five bites. I still have locked jaw from trying to defeat that challenge. It's physically taxing.
Yes.
How much of a dent did you put into that thing?
You're gonna have to watch and see. But I will say that I do have a big mouth, so
you're probably gonna you're the woman for the job.
I'm the woman for
is
the job.
Is there training that goes into that? Do you have to, like, loosen up the jaw?
Yeah, massage it out. Yeah, get ready for it.
I don't know what Joey Jaws does, like, if there's any technique.
I love it, though, welcoming in the eating component to this situation.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I did a challenge a couple years ago because we were watching the hot dog eating competition. I was like, I wonder how many I can do in 10 minutes. I was like, I'll just film it. And people went crazy over it. And so I had to do that every year now. And now people always want to do food challenges. I have no idea why, but they seem to love it.
How many did you get in 10 minutes? Because I got 9.5.
Yeah, Wolchuk did hit 9.5.
That's impressive. I did 6.5.
Okay.
It's so the technique is you have to double fist and you have to dip them in water.
So you do the dip.
It helps. It's easier. It's gross, but it's
disgusting.
Easier.
And so every time I would do it, I would gag and I was like, just got to fight through it. And it's just, you're done after 10 minutes. You're like, I never want to see a hot dog ever again.
I'm good on
and
that.
Then a week later on the golf course, I'm like, I'll have a hot dog.
Yeah, exactly. It's inspiring as hell.
Thank you.
It really
Thank
is.
Thank you. Yeah, doing the good work.
Doing
in
the
here.
Lord's work right now.
When you talk about gambling and what you're involved with that, as a golfer, what's your favorite gambling game to play on a golf course? Are you a wolf? Or you? Yeah. What's your game? When you tee it up, what are you kind of organizing for the group?
There's so many really fun ones. Yeah. There's this game called Snake.
Okay.
And it has to do with putting. And so every time someone three putts, then you add on an amount after that. And so on the last hole, whoever has the snake has to pay that amount in whatever you decide it be.
Oh,
so someone's stuck, like you have a three putt or like a five footer on the last hole, and you know that, you know, a couple grand is on the line if you miss it. Yeah. And it's stressful and you don't really think about it that often. Then all of a sudden you're like on 16, 17, 18, you're like, oh no.
I hope so. You're like play, lining them up.
Yeah, you're really focusing.
You're having a caddy. Hey, take a look at this.
Yeah.
I think it's right edge, you know?
But obviously, like, front nine, back nine total is like the typical one everyone does.
Yeah.
Now, you were a champion golfer in college, weren't you? Very competitive in our sports family.
Yeah. So, played junior golf and then played college golf at San Diego State University, was all conference there. And then from my family, my sister ran track at Stanford, my mom, professional ballet dancer, my aunt, professional tennis player, and my dad played football at Pitt when they won national championship. So we kind of have everything covered, come from a big sports family. And so they were like, you're going to be a professional athlete in something, so figure it out.
Wow.
And then when I didn't make it, I had to pivot, and I'm still lucky enough that I can stay in golf, but my goal was to be on tour.
And you know, you kind of dabbled with that for a little bit. Were you part of the reason the LPGA made the dress code changing?
No, everyone thinks that, but I wasn't playing at that time. I wrote a a piece in Forbes about it, and so that's how I got associated with the dress code. And obviously dress code has been a big part of my brand and what I stand for. I just think that they shouldn't have strict dress codes at public golf courses, at country clubs, and in pro golf. I think that's fine, but you'll grow the game a lot more if you just allow people to get out there and clothes that they already have in their closets, because golf is expensive, golf clothes are expensive, and I think a lot of people don't get into the game because of the restrictions on the dress code. And I think if you eliminate that, then more people will get into it.
Do you feel like you've now seen an uprising of other social media influencers in golf? Like, you seem like you've kind of trailblazed a new element here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really cool. When I first started doing this now 10 years ago, which is crazy.
Wow.
There was no career path to do what I'm doing today. And so I just had to figure it out, and I made some mistakes along the way. I'm really happy with the brand and the business that I built. And now there's so many other women in golf who have been able to do what I do from following in my footsteps, and same on the men's side as well. They do it a little bit different than I've done it, but it's really blossomed, and it's really cool to be a part of that really like OG portion of it.
When it comes to trying to dial in on the perfect swing, what do you think is more of an impediment from like a physical build standpoint, like your particular build?
Yes.
Or like a John Daly and a spare tire situation? Like what is tougher to swing?
You know, it's funny. They're kind of one and the same. So a lot of women ask me how to swing a golf club, obviously with the way that women are built. Mm-hmm. So you have to go over under with the way that you set it up, but it's... You're like, you're processing right now.
I am, yeah. I'm locked in. This is educational.
So if you go over and you go under, then when you do your takeaway, you're already in the correct position. But if you go under on your left arm, if you're a righty, you are stuck.
Okay.
And so no matter of your build, if you have, you know, something in front of you there, always over under.
There you go, okay. Woolchuck.
Thank
We're going
you.
On under.
I mean,
over under from now on.
I'm a juggy man myself, so I need some help in that area.
I think my guy Woolchuck, we go to bourbon. How many beads do you think this guy can collect? Are you kidding me?
Just stacked.
I bet a Woolly Bully versus
beat for
Spear
beat
and
page.
Act.
Let's go beat for beat.
I bet Woolchuck could put up some serious numbers here.
Yeah.
On the bead front.
I think I'm going to give it to you.
Let's
go. I think I'm going to give it to you.
Now,
yeah.
Would you consider, or would you advise considering a reduction, or do you feel like that actually didn't, once you've adjusted it, it has an impact on your ability to score? It's sort of like slapping God in the face a little bit.
Yeah,
I would think so.
No, I would never. I play, you know, I'm a plus 3.9 handicap, so I didn't make it on tour, not because of the girls, but because of my head. I'm
Absolutely.
A mental head case. So if I could fix that before I could fix my reduction, I would 100% do that.
Did you do the thing where you're playing where you start with a good 9 and you're like, man, if I can just match this, then I'll have this score at the end? Or what was your mental hang up there?
The first tee. Like, I put so much pressure on myself. And in practice rounds, I would shoot, you know, 64, 65. Then tournament day, I'm like, is this a golf club? How do you hold it? I couldn't handle the pressure.
Yeah.
And that's what separates the best in the world, especially in golf, because it is such a mental sport, that I had the physical ability to play, but when the pressure was on and I need to execute the shots, I crumbled. Every single time I crumbled, and I just couldn't handle the pressure. But it's really interesting because what I do now, I'm just much better suited for.
Right.
In golf, you have the vulnerability and I struggled with the competitiveness, and that hurt me in pro golf. But as a influencer, being vulnerable, I've been able to connect with so many people. And so I just was never meant to do that. I'm meant to do what I do now.
Paige, when your golf background and all that, do you gravitate towards what they do at Waste Management with that kind of environment?
Oh, that's fun.
Or Live, or are you more of the traditionalist, what we see at major championships and that kind of golf?
I'm both. You know, I think in golf, everyone thinks it's one way or
sure.
the other, and it's so black and white. And I think that you can have all these different tournaments with an individual vibe, and that's what makes golf so special. It's like, you know, when you're going to the WM, it's going to be a party.
Right.
I wouldn't want that week in and week out. I know the players definitely wouldn't want that
sure.
week in and week out. And then you go to the Masters, which is like ultimate tradition.
Oh, yeah.
And there's something so special about that, and being on the golf course without a phone and being disconnected, and I love that. And so there's all these certain personalities of these events, and I think that's what makes golf so special. I think golf gets in its way of growing because they think it has to be either music on the golf course or no music on the golf course, mm-hmm. this way or that way. And it's like, no, it can all work together, even with social media golf and pro golf. It can work together right. to reach more audiences, and that's what we want. We want to grow the game of golf.
Brought to you by Sports Grid, the number one sports betting news network. Paige Sporanic, thank you so much for joining us here on your home of the Cowboys.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Cheers. Thank you. Best of luck to you. Congratulations on all your success. There goes Paige as we are off now here back into the Pimp Cup where Lucius Alexander has your G-Bag of the Day.
All right, man.
There's your intro, Lucius. There's your intro.
There we go. Yeah, I got a hell of time stamps.
Proper segue.
All right. So it's day three right here for you, Mr. Broadus, G-Bag of the Day. Where's Dawson at?
I'm right here.
Okay, Dawson, could you put a little sauce on that G-Bag of the Day for me there, sir?
Yes, sir. The G-Bag of the Day is the best audio from the world of sports, pop culture, talk radio, and or the internet. We play them all, vote on which one we like the best, and that is your G-Bag of the Day.
Yes, sir. I'm going to send Woolchuck and him a text.
We're still on the air.
We're still on the air.
Yeah. Freaking gold.
We're freaking gold, guys.
We're exchanging numbers now.
Woolchuck's doing the most. All right, here's Broadus right here, man. He sounds like that kid Seth from Superbad. He had sleeping bags and sporting goods stores on his mind.
I would have gone and bought a sleeping bag from, like, Dick's or one of those sporting goods stores and just said, here, listen, just get in that. If you get cold, you know.
Zip it up.
Zip it up. Yeah. I just can't be sick, you know.
Well, speaking of Dixon Sports, big L to all of us. We lost.
I knew you were going to do something with that.
Well, we lost.
I was thinking of another sporting goods store, and I couldn't think of another name, like Oshman's or something like
Sports
that.
Sports Authority Academy. Sports,
I couldn't, yeah. And it Dix immediately came into my mind. Pause.
You said it with your mouth. That was your mouth that said that.
You tried to slow down, too. I felt you, dog.
That might be G-Bag of the Year right there.
I hate this.
It gets better and better, man. That thing is aging extremely well. Broadus, yeah. I think you have your volume up on your laptop.
Do I? I probably do. I'm sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
Come in crusty.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
No, it's not me.
Hey, is Paige still around there? Because that crowd behind
y'all
is growing.
She just left. The crowd got large.
Yeah, I need to leave some Gatorades around there.
Yeah, I need an IV.
Look at the
Reggie's hydrated. Like, I caught you, Woolchuck. I caught you taking a glimpse.
I was not going to get Zuckerberged on this one.
I was trying very hard to keep my eyes up.
I was freaking locked in.
You did?
I appreciate how you asked her about her golf swing.
Yeah.
And how she was able to do
that. And then the slapping God in her in his face line.
Oh, that's such an epic Superbad reference. I did ask off air for Hagee. Does Paige have nipples? And
yes.
She said she does not. It's actually just one big uniboom.
There's conspiracy theories about whether or not she does have that part of the breast. And, she confirmed she doesn't.
Huh.
Don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah. Me neither.
Well. Sort of alien-like.
What?
Great talent.
Why did you guys ask that question?
I did.
Hagee. It was for research purposes.
Hagee had... thought this.
No, there's a whole bit about it online.
Oh, okay.
Now people are saying they're pierced.
Oh, okay.
Wow. All right,
I liked it for a mind to myself, Lucius.
Hey.
Her analysis. Her energy.
Her energy was good. She's got good energy.
Might swerve in the corner.
As a girl dad, you know, I don't appreciate this objectification.
I know. I don't either, really.
Okay, well. Let's dig it on out the dish there here, L.A.
You can tell how much of an athlete she is, though.
You got it, Lucius.
Dig it on
I did
out
notice the
ditch.
Ankles. Ankles were impressive.
Nice and thin?
Yep.
Yeah.
Like she was talking about, like, it's because it's a mental problem for her. It's not a physical thing at all.
Yeah. Y'all get too
kick
thirsty.
That shoe off there and let's see what we're working with here.
We got more clips.
Nope.
I want to get some of, like, Chia Follow's little highlight things that he was doing after she spoke. I mean, the double entendre game might not have ever been better. I don't know how many were intentional, but some of them were gold. When you said we might be drained, I was like, you got to be kidding me, bro.
Well, it was. I mean, she painted the picture pretty graphically.
She did, dude.
The double fisting of the hot dogs.
I mean, she dropped a lockjaw line within five seconds.
It was pretty incredible, the whole thing.
Totally in her bag.
If only we were at night still, that would have gone way crazier.
What you want me to do? What you want me to do, bro?
Save us.
What you want me to do?
Do we have a second nominee, Lucius?
Oh, do we?
Didn't you guys find her as inspiring as I did?
You did. I did. I think we all did. Yeah.
We all did, yeah.
Yeah. Y'all need a little IV drops, some Gatorade out there.
I need some recovery.
Y'all need some recovery, bruh.
I need to head back to the room.
What's up?
Where's those bounty wipes at?
Pedialyte? Y'all need some Pedialyte?
Distance. I'm glad the kids aren't out of school yet. Yeah, put the kids to bed.
I hope y'all girls ain't listening.
Going all the way around.
I know, I'm just not saying a word.
Well, how am I supposed to transition from this?
I don't know, man.
It's time to vote.
Wait a minute. You got to put somebody up against
me. I'm voting for Brian.
No, what are we doing? Jeez, this is not fair.
Y'all see why I like being around women more than guys? See how guys change when women come around?
Absolutely.
They get strange, bro. They get strange.
I don't even know who I was. I almost got on all fours, Lucius. Jesus,
bro. Oh, my God. Hey, man, here goes Tolo Cowboy right here. He called in. I can't remember whose show it was now at this point, but he's frustrated with the Luka vibes.
First of all, you don't trade Luka. But if you do, you get a haul like how Jerry did with Herschel Walker. You get a haul. People would have been throwing first-round picks to get Luka. And I just don't get it. But what I do want to do while I'm on here is, Luka, if you listening, Luka, I love you, man. You will always be the face of the Dallas Mavericks. You are the franchise. I don't care if you are in L.A. I love you, Luka. I got your jersey. You'll forever be a Dallas Maverick. We burying Nico right now. He's talking about 10 years from now, we going to be burying him. No, we burying him right now. Nico, you trash. You're a bum. You out of here. Cowboy Tolo out. And I have to change my name now because I'm not messing with the Cowboys or the Mavericks no more. I am no longer a Cowboy fan, and I'm no longer a Maverick fan. What? Go Stars, go Rangers. I am always and forever be Dallas. I love you, Luka. And Luka, hey, just do the best you can, man. Hopefully we'll see you again. And I know when you come to Dallas, you're going to bust our butt. I'm going to say it like that. I know you're going to bust our butt every time you come. I'm going to be for you every time you come to Dallas.
Okay. All right.
Good call. I respect the passion.
Oh, Jesus. What else we got right here for you boys?
Rangers and Stars are vying for Tolo.
Let's see what else we got for you boys, because, oh, my God. You guys are in a doozy. The chemistry got you. She put you boys under a spell. Earth the G-bag.
Where are we?
Yeah.
Hey, if you would have seen them toes, Lucius, I'll tell you what.
Yeah. I'm not going to get involved. Hey, so Big Trump has been throwing out tariffs out here, right?
He has.
A lot of stuff.
Have been throwing them out like they were cookies. Here you go. One for you.
Mm. We're colonizing Gaza now, too.
Yeah, they're making a vacation site.
Trying to make Canada a state.
Yes.
Even threw some tariffs on Canada.
Yep.
So, and they're so confusing, like even to the point where the announcers don't even still understand how to use it yet.
Front skate. This will actually be a 2.5-minute power play for the Detroit Red Wings due to the 25% tariff that has been imposed on penalties to Canadian-based teams.
Pretty good.
Seems excessive.
Seems excessive.
Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good.
Did you hear the Canadian crowd boo the American hockey teams, though? They've been doing this a lot.
They boo their own national anthem occasionally too.
Do they?
They do. Oh. When it's sung in English, they boo it. When it's sung in French, they boo it.
Okay.
Just boo it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we've had the Americans respond to booing some of the Oh Canadas.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's how we. You know, it takes a lot to make the French. I mean, not the French, but the Canadians upset.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we're booing them back. Is that what we're doing now?
Yeah, I believe so. Wow. Yeah, we return fire. And I think many of them are French.
Eye for an eye. Yeah, that's why I said French.
They're friendly.
Yeah.
All righty. What do you say?
Let's go ahead. Well, I mean, okay. I do have another one, but we're up against it, my guy.
Is it our champ Broadus? Is it Tolo Cowboy phone call still loves Luka? Or is it the penalty tariff coming in the NHL? I'll go with Broadus.
Oh, jeez.
Me too. Two for him. Lucius?
Absolutely.
Volchuk?
Yep.
Brian.
Or Tolo, please.
By a score 4-1, still your G-Bag of the Day champion. It's Brian Broaddus telling us what's always jumping into his mind. Okay, coming up next, guys, where are we going here? We got we have Michael Brockers now set for 3 o'clock, right? The former LSU man.
Yeah,
okay. Go Tigers. Yeah.
We'll have Chop sit down with us. We'll talk some NFL and find out his experience last night when it came to the media party. What do you think of Bobby and I? That was next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. We're live on Radio Row. Michael Brockers coming up at 3. We're hoping for another development here in the Kevin Durant story arc. At the top of the show, it was reported by Shams he doesn't want to go back to Golden State. And we were thinking, oh, my goodness, what next could fall? And then Wendy said he'll either go to Miami or stay in Phoenix. So that's kind of the report of record for now.
It sounds like to me that they've eliminated Golden State out of the conversation, that Phoenix and Miami are going to try and hammer this thing out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way I see it. Yeah. As of now, as RJ Choppy sits down with you here on the Fan. And how you doing, buddy?
Gentlemen, how we doing?
Doing good. It's been a crazy couple of weeks, hasn't it, with the shoddy hire and then the Luka thing.
What do you mean?
What? Give the afternoon audience just a flavor of, you know, your view here of the Luka trade and where the Mavs go from here.
I still don't understand it. I still don't understand how none of it makes sense. Not the fact that they gave him away for nothing. He didn't ask out. There was no indication from Lucas Camp, according to him, that he wasn't going to sign an extension. This was Nico, it seems, creating their own window, just manufacturing a window that didn't need to be there of 3 years for whatever reason, because that's about what you did. I mean, you broke the two rules of the NBA. You traded young for old, and you traded the best player in the deal. I mean, that almost always loses. And if this was like a situation where there was so much pressure on him to win today, okay, I can understand that you would want to maybe make some moves, but this doesn't make you, I don't think, necessarily appreciably better. Maybe you are. Maybe in a playoff series you're a little tougher, but there was no pressing need to win. It hadn't been 30 years. It's not the Cowboys might need to do a win now move like this. I just didn't understand it at all.
Yeah. So what do you think? Like, where do they go from here? Can they seriously contend with just Kyrie Irving? You know basketball. You know how important it is to have a bigger guy in the perimeter that can create his own shot.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. You know, Kyrie can, Bassick's talked about it. You can shut him down in a playoff series. I mean, he's not that big.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I could absolutely see them going through and manufacturing ways to get through the Western Conference again. I don't know that they would, win the whole thing. But, yeah, I could, close my eyes and envision it. But it's not likely. You're a piece away, at least. You need somebody else. I don't know how they're going to get that other person now. One of their main strengths is depth. I mean, that's a huge, huge strength for them. And, yeah, I actually think Max Christie is an underrated part of this deal. I mean, he's a good player. He had a good game last night, but that is not going to be enough. Mm-hmm. It's just not.
Now, what kind of optimism do you have here for the Cowboys? With the OC hire, with Schottenheimer, looks like they're going to go to the run game, which I like.
Well, they need help on the offensive line, right? That would help with the run game. I wonder, in the draft, if Genty is there or one of their top offensive line guys is there.
Sure.
Which route would they go to? Because I've talked to Broz about this a lot. We've both talked about how when you're good at drafting something, kind of stick with what you're good at, and they're really good at finding offensive line, but that's not sexy. And I feel like the Cowboys want, because they've had a disastrous offseason last year, they're probably not going to do a splash this year. Nobody enjoyed the coaching search. I have a feeling that they're just going to go with a splashy type pick. Could be a wide receiver, could be Genty, but we all know that nobody in the NFL wins, no matter who your quarterback is, unless it's Mahomes. If you don't have an offensive line, you're going
to
struggle.
Did you get a feel from Zach talking to him like he wants to come back? Or I mean, he definitely said I'm a free agent.
Yeah, he made a point. He made it a point to remind everybody that I am a free agent. We were sitting there. Me and Sean were like, wow, we had forgotten that he was a free agent. But I guess it's the void years. He made it a point to say that he's a free agent, but he wants to play again. He wants to get healthy. That's his number one, because I don't think he's been healthy. 2 years ago, he missed camp. That's never good. We saw that with Brandon Ayuk this year. CD was, he was good, but it wasn't a normal CD year type thing. And he's older, and he was hurt this year. So we have not seen him for 2 years be at the top of his game.
Did I see Tank's going to be on with you guys as well, DeMarcus Lawrence? No?
I think he canceled.
Oh, he canceled.
I think he canceled. He knew Bobby was on as well.
Bobby. It's the curse of Bobby.
How was Bobby this morning?
Bobby's first segment was rough. He got scolded. Dad scolded him, and that's what happened. He got scolded because
he go Bobby, big last night.
Bobby did Bobby things.
Okay.
Bobby did the what he does at every media party, which is chug chug. He would order two drinks at once.
Sure.
Yeah, he's like the Travis like Kelce of media party. Two things at once, right? Mm-hmm. Just chugging beers, or in this case, it was a mixed drink and a shot. And that's what happened to Bobby.
Did Ross Tucker really call him a werewolf?
Yeah, something like that. Neckbeard, werewolf.
Yeah.
But, you know,
he looks just.
We see him at the airport, and it's like, dude, he has patches
it's up
of
to his
hair.
Eyes.
Like, he has under. We have eyebrows. He has under eyebrows. And he doesn't shave there. It connects, like, to the back of his neck, into the back of his hair from his beard, goes down underneath his shirt. You can't tell where the chest hair starts. It's a wild thing. He's got to get the just shave it up a little bit.
Damn near a ski mask of hair. This guy Bobby Bell. Right? Are you a New Orleans guy? Do you like it here?
I earmuffs. I think it's vermin.
Really,
vermin.
It is very unique.
Now
sense.
The good news is I have been crop dusting this city from start to finish.
There
you fit right
and
in.
Nobody knows.
You're probably making it smell better.
You can't tell.
No,
you can't tell.
But
food's great. The food's good.
All the Philadelphia people here. Combined with just
yeah.
the general aroma of
yeah.
urine and vomit.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
There are smells in this city that I had forgotten about, you know, but growing up in the Portland area, you know, you'd be downtown, you'd be like, wow, that's a really rough, strong smell, right? And
yeah.
I don't think I've smelled that at any point other than being in one of these two cities.
They should move the CDC here because I think you can test some of these.
It's ground
zero. You can do some gain-of-function research on some of these smells.
Yes.
See what's going on with that.
All right, buddy. Well, good to see you. Have fun. Best of luck down there at the casino. How are they treating you
it.
So far?
First day I was up 200, then yesterday I lost all that 200. So I'm even.
What's the biggest day you've ever had at a blackjack table to the upside?
It was here at the Harrah's. I think I won like $3,000 at the blackjack table that day. That was
wow.
the biggest one at the blackjack table. Craps, I don't think it was that. I think it was like 2,800 at craps, 27.
Not too bad, man.
Yeah.
Best
I
of
like
luck
this
to
place.
You.
This is a good spot.
You back this afternoon?
Oh, we'll go back.
Okay.
Tennessee's on the night. I'll be at the sports
there
book.
There we go.
Nice, dude. Well, thank you, RJ. RJ and Choppy
yes,
Show 6 to 10 weekday mornings. He's the sane one usually between Sean and
yeah.
Bobby battling it out, getting into arguments. Okay, Michael Brockers, LSU guy, I think 12-year NFL vet. We'll get his thoughts on the game and the stories of the day coming up next year. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.